I'm on? Okay. Well, we're certainly glad that you're here this morning and guests that are here. We're glad to see you. Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Acts. I was talking with someone, and we were talking about being able to do things. I can certainly tell a difference now in my life since I'm not 25. I've noticed it's harder to get down, and three or four it takes to get me up. When you're down, you don't know whether you're ever going to get back up or not, so you don't know whether to lay down straight and put your hands across your chest or not. But when things go wrong, there's always a source for a believer. We don't have to do anything by ourselves. I want to read some scripture to you here that just, it's marvelous work here that is taking place. And it needs to take place now all over America. I believe every church in America needs to take what we're going to talk about this morning and focus on that as a body of believers and ask ourselves individually, who are we? Who are we? What are we doing? Are we making any kind of impact on anything other than what we can touch and see and feel? Are we working spiritually to put our treasures up in heaven instead of here on earth? So there's a lot of things that we can ask ourselves about our relationship with the Lord, and how is that doing for you? You know, it's amazing to me. You know, if we know what God wants us to do, and I believe that's a clear thing for us, I believe. Now, there might be some things that is for you directly, but I believe if God gives us something, it's not only for us, it's for everyone, so that we might share with everyone what He has done for me. That way, everyone else will know how to do and how to act, how to react whenever those things are happening to them. So we're going to see some things here in the book of Acts, chapter 19 is where we're going to be. And I'll try to be as short as I can. But y'all know how that goes. Let's stand as we honor God as we read His word. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits, in the name of Jesus. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts and brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your precious word that is so alive and powerful. It's able to teach us. It's able to show us, Lord, what you would have us to be. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take control of whatever I say, whatever I do. If you do not, we have nothing. Unless you show up and speak to the hearts of your people, we'll leave here empty and thirsty. But Lord, I know that you're able. You're all powerful. You can open every heart in this place this morning. Open every mind, every spirit, that we will be receptive to you and your Holy Spirit as you work that perfect work that only you're able to do. I pray if there's one lost and undone, I pray, Lord, they would make their way to this altar and someone will get with them and show them what it means to trust Jesus. So we give this to you for your glory and certainly not ours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is neat right here. I want to give you a picture of something. So get this in your mind. Ephesus was a unique city. There was many religions there and many ways that they made a living. And all of those were pagan. They worshiped pagan gods. The church has been established. The Holy Spirit has come. God has anointed some men. Paul being one of those. God has anointed them to carry the message, the good news, to people everywhere. And they're doing that. But at Ephesus, witchcraft was so prevalent. And these guilds would make idols and sell idols. And these people were making a fortune off of pagan gods. Someone asked me, how do you know that there's just one God? How do you know that? Why can there not be many others? I said, well, because there can't be. Can't be many others, but first of all, the only one that has been risen from the dead is the Lord Jesus Christ. There can't be but one God because God said there's only one God. The scripture says it. History says it. Life itself, the heart of man, says it. When one says there's no God, they're going against the very nature of what God's created them to be. But here he's doing something different. Witchcraft was prevalent. And you know, witchcraft is on the rise. There used to be some people lived just across the street from us, just a little to the left. Every Saturday night, they strapped on their robes. And the guy who was the head of the house there put a horn on his head. They built a big old bonfire and they played some of that mystical music. And they marched around that fire honoring their pagan god. Their children would be dressed in the robes as well as they marched them around that massive fire. Every Saturday night, like clockwork, their yard would be filled with 75 to 100 cars as the people gathered together there at that house. See, we're looking for something. We're looking for something to satisfy us. We're looking for something to fill us. And the truth of the matter is, if we're born again, God has already filled us. We need an infilling is what we need. We need a refreshing is what we need. And God will use us if we will humble ourselves, call upon his name, and follow him. How do we know there is no God? I can tell you how I know. April the 26th, 1979, I met him. He was there, and I was there. Having an experience with God is something that we all need. Wanda was different than me. She was always so sweet and nice. You know, she weren't quite as rambunctious as I was. So her experience was completely different than mine. Mine was a massive awakening. Hers was a gentle touch to awake her. We all have different experiences. But here in this city, and it's almost mocking every city in America today, that we're looking something, but we're looking at the wrong place for it. We're looking at a pagan God, most of us, and we're just wondering what I can get out of it. How is this going to enrich my life? Sort of like President Kennedy said one time, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Well, that's what we need to be doing, asking God, what can we do? Where can we go? How can we serve? God says here in the scriptures that God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Well, when you study that particular verse right there, you'll find that this is the only place that God used these gifts of Paul. It says a special, unique, one-time event. And Paul was marching through that city. He would work all day making tents, sweating like a mule in new ground. He would wipe his head, you know, and lay those things down, they'd take them. And whoever they took them to was healed. So God was doing some marvelous things. See, he wanted the world to know that he had arrived and that he had sent the Savior into the world, and that Savior had done exactly what he had come for, that he had redeemed mankind if they would only believe. That was simple. A simple story that God loves us and was willing to give himself for. And he does things in our lives that are special. He don't do the same thing in everybody's life. He's different in how he works. But every time he works, it's for this, for his glory and not ours. See, we get mixed up on that sometimes. Sometimes we think that we're doing this and we're getting the glory out of it. That's why we do it. We want the glory out of it. And all the time, it's God's business. You can get rich on the gospel's sake. Many have. But what we need to be enriched by the Holy Spirit. We need to seek God's face. We need to look and see how we can serve him. But we do it in the power of him. Here are these vagabond Jews who are exorcists. They decide, hey, if Paul can do it, I can do it. And so they walk up to him, a man that had spirits in him, and they commanded them to come out. Sort of like a pit bulldog when you wake him up when he's asleep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Well, it's not a good thing, let me tell you that. And he called on these spirits and said, you come out of there in the name of this Jesus that Paul preaches. Right there, they said, I don't know who he is. And what did that spirit say to him? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who in the world are you? Who do you think you are to come and command me something whenever you don't even know who Paul's preaching about. See, we need to know the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to take God's scriptures and eat them, as the prophet said, because they're like honey when they touch your lips. I think they just sung something about that. So what happens here? There's a powerful force. Oh, if God would open our eyes right now, we would be frightened. We'd be scared to death right now if we could just see what is around us and what is here right now to steal the Word of God so it does not find your heart to fall on. We'd be frightened to death. But God, in His sovereign will, has chosen to keep them from us seeing them. However, there is a way to deal with this. There's a way to take what God is doing, and we understand this. When we know that it's not us that does the work, then we are already ahead of the game. Notice, if you would, what happened. They jumped on them. They beat the mud out of them and run them off. They were bleeding, wounded, and probably went off and just started crying about what had happened right then. When they done that, I bet they were wondering what in the world they were going to do. But first of all, when we try to do it ourselves, we will mess up. We'll try to get the glory to begin with. But what we need to understand is when we do it on our own self, without being anointed of God, without being born of God, when we try to just take control of what's happening around us, we'll be overcome. See, we have set back, holding back the gospel, afraid to speak, afraid we're going to offend. You're not going to offend anybody if you tell them the Word of God. The Word of God will offend them. Because, see, sin is affected by the Word. But when we try to do it on our own, we're overcome by it. And we get to that place where we just can't go any further. And we want to quit. But when we're doing it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we have the power and the desire to go forward with what God's leading us to. But we have to be filled with the Spirit. And it's so easy to walk away from the Spirit of God, not that you walk away from Him in that sense, but out of the light of God and sin come in your life. It might not be something terrible. Maybe you're not murdering someone. Maybe you're not robbed a bank. But maybe in the depths of that heart, something is going on. That at the root of the very matter is sin against God. And I tell you, the devil can overcome us. He don't have to overcome us. Matter of fact, the Bible says if we will resist him, he will flee from us. I mean, literally run from us if we do what God tells us to do. He cannot overcome anything that God does. See, the devil is not equal to God in no means of the word. He is a created being that pride rose up in his heart and God cast him out. He's not equal with God. He's not, and you've heard me say this, he's not standing there at hell with a pitchfork throwing everybody back in. No, that's his place. That was made for him and his angels. And one day God's going to cast him there. But we can be overcome easy if we don't walk in the Spirit of God. And the reality of it is this. The Bible says here that they were naked. I'm going to use that in a different term. Naked in the sense that we will be open and people can see what's going on in our lives. They can see the weakness. They can see the inability. Because most of the time, we don't do because we don't think we can. Well, I can't do that. Well, you can. In your own power, you probably can't. Because when God gives us something, it's bigger than what we are. When He gives us something, He sent Paul over there right in the middle of all them devils. And Paul walked out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Anointed of God. Doing exactly what God said, but running into obstacles just like we do all the time. Someone out there is going to resist the gospel because they think their idea is better than God's. And that's not true. So we have to understand we will be opened and the world will see. And sin and greed and power, someone desiring power, it will be opened. The devil knows how to expose you. The devil knows, as my daddy used to say, the devil knows where to get you goat at. And he will if he can. But listen, the anointed work of God is different. Under the anointing of the Word of God, sinners are saved. It is through the foolishness of preaching that God saves them which will believe. Isn't that marvelous? Just someone like me and you. It don't mean that word that he's talking about does not mean all of us are pastors. But all of us are witnesses. So all of us has the authority of God to go out and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when you share the gospel, what does the Holy Spirit do? He begins to draw. He begins to open up that person's heart where they can believe the gospel. That's the anointing of Christ. Now understand this, everyone will not believe. Everyone, when you share the gospel, they're not everyone going to believe. But God don't have a chart up there that's saying he's 1, 3, or 4, 500 or whatever it might be. That's not what God looks at. He looks at our obedience. And out of our obedience, He blesses us. Out of our obedience, God works. And when He works, the work is permanent. Now, when we work in our own power, we might lead somebody because they like us, because they're friendly. We might be led by someone and never meet Jesus. But if we're doing it under the anointing of Christ, He will use you. He will use you. And that's what my desire is. That God uses this little church on the backside of the desert that He might use us in many great things for the gospel's sake. Not for our sake, but for the gospel's sake. And I know things are beginning to lighten up a little bit, but then again, there's another rise in the evil. But when we do it in His name, people will believe. When we do it in His name, see, for by grace are we saved through faith. That's it. Jesus told Nicodemus, whoever believes will be saved. Whoever believes. That means anybody. Red and yellow, black and white. He created all of us equal. Loves all of us equally. And the message is for everyone. If we hold it back from anyone, we're holding back God's love. If we're not willing to share, we need to be on our knees asking God to break that chain that's got us wrapped and holding us. God loves us all. And through his love, the Holy Spirit is going to draw someone. And I tell you, there's nothing like this right here. When you're sharing the gospel and you ask someone, do you believe what we've just talked about? And they say, yes, I do. And you say, would you like to trust Jesus right now and give your heart and life to him? They say, yes, I would. There's nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. Sometimes you might share it and they would say, no, not now. Well, guess what? You've planted a seed. You've watered. And the Holy Spirit will do his job, because we cannot win one person. We can share the gospel. For by grace are we saved. It's through the preaching of the word of God that saves lost people. Now, that doesn't mean standing here. It can be at your job, in the break room, whenever you're on break, sharing the gospel. I tell you, that works real well there in a lot of places. But when that happens, you'll see people's lives begin to change. They will not remain the same. When Jesus comes in, sin will go out. When he comes in, if we fill ourselves, if he fills us, the more of Jesus we walk in, the more he washes out the sin. Habits will change. Those things will change. Some will change rapidly. Some will change at the moment. Some you have to fight. Some you have to battle with. But see, we got a victory on it already, because the Holy Spirit has come and taken up a residence within us. That's what happened here. It says that many of them brought their books of witchcraft and they piled them up and they burned them all. Why? Because their lives had been changed. The truth had set them free. And that's where we need to look at. Customs are broken. But you know, we live in a time that God's been thrown out of everything, including a lot of churches. A lot of churches have just thrown him out. And our society has become a society of broken people. Broken in spirit, broken because we have rejected the only one that leads and gives us strength. The only one. Customs need to be broken. Sin needs to be abandoned. When we got those little pet peeves, sins, we need to go to him and ask him to break that bondage that is there. We need to ask him to lead us and guide us. Because when he begins to anoint and he begins to work, there is a new experience for someone out there somewhere. I'm just thankful that I heard the gospel. And when I heard the gospel, God pricked my heart. Well, I think he pricked my heart. I believe he hit it with an axe. That's what it felt like. Hit it with an axe instead of a pick. Changes has to be made. Now, God is good. I don't know if Christ is going to be exalted in our life. A Christian cannot exalt Christ and walk in sin. Now, I realize we can make mistakes. But we do not wallow in those mistakes. And they don't come. I know one time I was talking with a couple. And they lived together. Like they were husband and wife, and they weren't. And I said something. You need to be married. I mean, you need to be married. And they said, "Well, preacher, don't worry about it." Every night before we go to bed, we ask God to forgive us. It don't work that way. God, forgive me of the sin that I'm intentionally fixing to do. It don't work that way. Because the life and heart of a Christian is to be like Christ. That should be our desire. To walk like Him, act like Him, talk like Him, smell like Him. Whatever He does that we do. Love, love, love. And the Bible says that the Word of God grew mightily. Whenever I was first saved, I'll tell you, I'd been to church most of my life. My granddaddy was a tent evangelist. So I'd been to church most of my life. My daddy ended up being a pastor as well. But when I come to know Him, the Word of God began to teach me. I fell in love with the Word of God, and I wanted to know what the Word of God said. I wanted to live my life in a way that He would be pleased, because God is not pleased with sin, and we will not get by with it either. God will judge us. So what do we do? What do we do to be what He would have us to be? To walk in His power instead of our own. I tell you what it takes. There's three things. First of all, there's prayer. Okay? We can't do anything. And we always say, well, that's all we can do. Well, that's all you need to do. Right? So first is prayer. Second one is prayer. All right? The third one is prayer. And we Baptists don't like that too much. We forget how to speak to Him. We forget how to listen to Him. That's the only way, guys, that we going to survive and God use us, is we have to be prayer warriors over everything, including our own selves. Pray for ourselves. Pray for your family. Pray for whoever is in need. Amen? If that had been the Lord coming back, Wait. Would you have been ready? If that was the Lord coming back and that was the trumpet that sounded, would you be ready? Would you be ashamed to stand before Him? Or would you say, look, there's my Lord. There's my Savior. I hope that would be what you would say. But who are you? Who are you before the Lord? Are you obedient? Are you loving? Are you kind? Do you serve? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We're thankful for who You are. We're thankful for Your grace and Your mercy. We're grateful that you love with an unchanging and an everlasting love. We're thankful that your love is not affected by our sin or even our holy walk. Your love is just because you are love. I pray this morning that you would take the Word of God, and I pray you'd touch the lives of the people that are here. Those that maybe are not born of God, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. That's your work, Lord, not mine. You gave me the words today, so this is your business, and we surrender ourselves to you. Save souls, change lives, bring the saints to a renewal so that we serve you, Lord, with all our heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The altar's open if you need it. Can we make a commitment today to serve God every day? Really serve God. To be what God would have us to be. To desire to be like Him. I hope we can this morning. And we do that by surrendering ourselves to Him as we sing.
The Savior is waiting. Apart, what is you owe.